This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
Podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome. Oh my god, that water bottle right when I started talking. Unbelievable.
I heard that. I was wondering what that was.
Wait, my mic picked that up?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear it. That's crazy.
I didn't know if you were drinking the water yourself or trying to give your microphone a drink. That's how loud that was.
Oh,
hey everybody, welcome to episode 58 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from blizzbro.com. Today is February 23rd, 2017, from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the Noisy Crew. First, from Boys Noiseville, California, it is Rash. Hey, Rash.
Hey, basically what I've gotten from this podcast is don't drink water. So when I die of dehydration in a couple weeks, it's you guys' fault for always making fun of, one, what my water bottle looks like, but two, the fact that I'm drinking water.
Hold on. Let's talk about taking something to the extreme for a second.
Of drinking water.
Do you guys know me?
I am totally happy with you drinking water. I encourage you to drink water. Just, you don't have to lean into the mic to do that.
I don't hear it because my headphones, they cancel out their noise. And my dog's going
they're
crazy.
They're not noise canceling. They're A40s.
Them. Yeah, but they zone out a lot of noise. So I didn't even hear the water bottle. So when you made that face, I was like, was it because we cut into the show from the intro and I was drinking? I was so confused. I had no idea what it was because I didn't really hear the water bottle. And I didn't even think that, my mic is going to pick it up way more than I can hear. So that was hilarious.
So what you're saying is you just didn't think. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Basically,
got it.
Have you watched my stream? That's basically the story of my life. But yeah, no, I'm glad to be here. Super excited to get into a bunch of cool stuff.
Good.
Without giving anything away, cool stuff.
Thank you.
On this episode.
Thank you for not giving it away. I have a pet peeve, and it's when people can't wait until the time where we talk about the actual thing to talk about the actual thing.
There's probably a skip over Jimmy's next part.
All right, Jimmy, going to Spoilerville, California. Jimmy Bloxham, hey man, welcome back to the show.
Hey, are you all ready for me to rant about my season 3?
I think we're all ready.
No.
I know spoilers. I was not happy with my season 3 on PC. I am I know the last time we talked, you weren't either. So this is going to it's going to be a fun one. We're going to actually skip the pleasantries. We're going to go straight into the news so we can talk about season 3 end and season 3. Let's do that.
This week in Overwatch.
This week in Overwatch, season 3 is over with. And that's about it for the stuff. How'd you guys do? You know what, Jimmy, let's let you go first. Let's get it out of the way.
Gosh.
Let's get it out of the way. How was your season 3? You don't have to say where you ended up if you don't want. I know I'm not going to, but
I don't want to say where I ended up, but people can do math if they want to. I've dropped nearly 1,000 points from my high in season 2, which was 2135.
Oh my god.
So, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know what it was. I'd like to take some personal responsibility and be like, "Oh, I was playing bad or something like that," but every time I switched roles between matches just cuz I was trying to figure out something that would work, it just didn't work for me. I think the best I did on was on DPS characters, which I mean, every strategy video, it's like, rank from bronze to top 500 in 3 days. tells you to do that or whatever.
Did you do that? Did you go from bronze to top 500 in 3 days?
I did.
Rosh and I tried.
Didn't work. About my SR. No, I did not. I went backwards. It seemed like the games I would win, I would get like 10, 15 points. And then the games I would lose, I would lose like 30 or 40. And I'm like, well, I just lost four wins.
That's a common thing because even at higher ELOs, it's the same thing. And it's really frustrating, especially when you get into like top 500, for example, because you'll win 4, 5, 6 games and then you lose one and you're right back to where you started and you've now wasted the last 4 hours in competitive play. So I think that's just something across the board. And I don't know if that's intended and Blizzard is happy with that and how it's working. But I know that a lot of people are not happy with how that's happening. So it'll be interesting to see if they change it or keep it the same or make any tweaks to it at all.
Mm-hmm. I think at least initially with season 4, I'm going to try a solo queue. I don't know how well that'll go, but we'll see.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I'm sorry. I know you're bummed about that.
It's nature of competitive games.
Yeah. Rosh, how about you? How'd you finish out the season? Are you happy with your season?
I'm not thrilled with it, but I'm not unhappy with it. I think I basically just remained the same constant. I finished higher this season than I finished in season 1 or season 2. So I'm kind of happy with that. But Pixel said it in chat that they just weren't really happy with the meta this season. So it wasn't a lot of fun for them to pick competitively. And it was kind of the same with me. I just didn't really enjoy playing the meta as much. I still did, you know, the bare minimum to skate by, but I found myself just every week finding myself decaying for 1 or 2 days. So it kind of just got to the point where I was just like, I'm waiting on something to change. And unfortunately, the changes that are coming out on the PTR were just too late. So hopefully we will see them in season 4. And hopefully that will get me a little more excited to play season 4. So I'll be able to enjoy ranked a little more.
Nice. As for me, I finished on Xbox at just over 3,000. So that was great. So I did get Diamond on Xbox, which was my goal. And I spent a big chunk of the time. And I'm like, you know what? It's time to start focusing on PC. And I've said it on this show before. I've never played a PC shooter before. I haven't even played a game that demands much from your mouse at all. Which, you know, for me was World of Warcraft is basically the only, and Hearthstone, which is super high APM game, I know. So I had, you know, I'm way behind the learning curve here. And so I didn't finish where I wanted to on PC. Rosh, we played quite a bit, though. We've been trying to play, and I think in season 4, we're planning on playing some more.
Yeah, I think that'll be really, really interesting. I think it'll be cool from a stream perspective and from my perspective, because it'll put a challenge on how far we can get. So I'm actually kind of excited for season 4.
Did you just call me an anchor?
No, that's not what I was saying at all. I just don't
feel
really,
like I just got called an anchor.
That's not what I meant at all. You are putting words in my mouth. You are completely twisting what I'm saying, but no.
It's a lot
I'm
of
just,
you statements. It's a lot of you
well,
statements.
Well, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Wait, is Kevin here?
But I'm excited, and I think that it will be interesting, and I think that it will be fun and make the game exciting again to see how far we can get.
Yep. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm even looking at having a separate account for that so that we can just use those two accounts when we're climbing and then still being able to do my own thing because I don't want to mess up, drop my ELO when you're not playing with me, but not play.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
So we'll have to see. I'm going to see if I can scrape together the $40 to make that happen. No Origins Edition. I've never used the skins even once. Why even bother? Why even
you know,
bother?
This is going to make you get skins on your alt account that you don't have on your main, and you're going to be really mad about it.
It's true. Here's the thing, though, is if there's something that I want, I just buy it. Just buy it. Life's too short. Yeah. Life's too short.
Plan all
how,
along.
How many loot boxes have you guys gotten since the game came out?
Oh.
What's, probably not something you want to admit.
Take a month of the average one bedroom apartment rent from like 5 years ago.
Oh, geez.
Do that.
Wait, what part of the country?
Yeah.
It's very spotty. You're talking about like San Francisco or New York.
It's not San Francisco or Denver or New York, but it's also not like Hutchinson, Minnesota, where I can get a three bedroom for $600. Jeez. Good old Hutchinson, Minnesota. No joke. Three bedroom, 1,200 square feet, $660. Denver, 500 square feet in any sort of neighborhood, in any suburb, about 1,100. So, yay. Being an adult is fun. Nobody told me about rent when I was signing up to be an adult. Don't
even get me started.
I always got yelled at for using the air conditioner too much or that, but I never got yelled at for rent is too dang high. I don't know. All right. We got some big news here. Speculation hats on nice and tight. Got them. Okay, good. So during the Hearthstone developer Q&A live stream with Ben Brode and Mike Donay, the Overwatch team decided that it would be funny or cute or whatever to publish a blog called An Interview with Inventor Effie Oladeli. Is that how you say it? How are we going to say it? Is that good?
I've just been calling her Effie.
Effie,
I think it might be Oladele. I don't know. I'm just going with Effie.
You're anytime saying Oladele just... because... You were Adele. What's you were 21 once? Is that what the name of the 21? Yeah. Is that the name of the album? Yeah.
I don't even know that, and I think I'm ashamed that you know that. I'm not.
I studied music in college. If I don't know what what Adele is,
fair. Jeez. Judgment. That's fine. But anytime
judgment.
I see
you, no judgment zone here.
Okay, that was not in the agreement for doing this podcast. Nowhere did it say this was a no judgment zone.
It's but like in the Santa Claus, where at the very, like the outer border is just all terms and conditions that you would never have signed up
apparently.
For.
Apparently.
To play the Overwatch Christmas music.
Yeah. But anyway, anytime I see your name, I just say Effie. That's what I've just been saying with her.
Effie Oladeli. Just kidding. It's not Italian. So, okay. So anyways, there's this blog post with Effie, who is an 11-year-old robotics and AI prodigy, and kind of talks about some of the things she's going to be in. It's called Spotlight on Numbani is the name of the segment from Atlas News. We've seen stuff from Atlas News in the past. And talking, you know, really, honestly, the interview kind of sucks. You don't learn anything cool or new.
It's how an interview with an 11-year-old would go.
It's very accurate. Michael Chu did a very good job writing the lore here of an 11-year-old. Because at first glance, there's not much here. Asking questions like, how do you feel? She wins a prestigious genius grant from the Adawe Foundation. And so asking how she feels, how you got into robotics and AI, how did you become so successful at it? What are your plans to do with your grant? That kind of stuff. And the internet went crazy. Literally crazy. I mean,
Sombra 2.0.
Apparently, so many people thought that this was Doomfist confirmed, which
I don't get me wrong. That.
There are many similarities between Terry Crews and an 11-year-old girl.
I think that was one of my favorite comments on the threads. Like, wow, Terry Crews is going to have a heck of a job doing this one. Like, I'm excited to hear him do this.
Right. So, anyways, apparently Jeff Kaplan needed to clarify that Doomfist is not number 24. And mm-hmm. also, you will not be shooting and killing an 11-year-old in the game.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I can't believe people like thought this was she was actually going to be the new hero. I was like, this is something that just movies and TV and games do not really cross that line where you can actually kill children.
Well, I think
I
think a lot of people were thinking more along the lines of her being in the lobby and mm-hmm. then sending out her creation. Which still kind of skates that line kind of a little bit there. But I think that that was more how they could see that happening, because I think that they were just waiting to grab on the next tidbit of information that came out to see that as the next character, because they're so hungry. And Overwatch really, Blizzard hasn't really dropped a lot of hints up until now about the next character. They've just, you know, kind of said, this is what we're working on, this is what we're doing. So they kind of just grabbed that and then launched, like, leashed onto it and said, okay, this is definitely it. This has to be it.
They leashed on to it.
So I'm going to go. Yeah, can we have our own boo button for when you say something like that? But yeah,
That one. That's the one that we get. I'm going to get a laughing one. Sorry.
I don't think I can do this podcast anymore.
Jimmy, we had a bet. I said 20 episodes. What was yours at? I forget.
I think it was like 25.
Oh. We'll do the math later. If I win, Jimmy gets a top tier Mercy player for the podcast. If Jimmy wins, I have to go find the top tier Mercy player for the podcast. So
gotcha.
it's kind of a pain in the butt. There's a lot riding on this. Anyways, back to the conversation. Nope. Oh, okay. Never mind. Everyone take a drink break.
Go on with that.
Rosh, take a drink break. Don't finish your thought at all.
I have finished it, but yeah, no. Back to what Jimmy was saying. I couldn't imagine them actually putting her in as the hero. I think that that's why people just kind of leached onto that idea that she was the next hero, because Blizzard has just been hinting that that is the next thing coming out is another hero. And this is the first information that has been released. So they kind of just connected two and two and just thought about it. But when you take a step back, it's just like Jimmy said, it's just skirting that edge and you don't really see that done. And I just can't imagine them implementing an 11-year-old that you're supposed to eliminate in the game over and over again.
Even if it's only ones that I can beat at this game anyway, is 11-year-olds.
Yeah, I can't. Goodness. Yeah, definitely don't see them doing that. But I definitely think her interview leaves questions as to what is coming up and what could potentially... I think she'll be involved with the next skit coming out with the release of the 24th character. But I definitely... It's not going to be her.
Yep. And thanks to Jeff Kaplan saying that, we know that to be true. So very bold prediction.
Thanks.
We also do know this. Michael Chu did confirm that this interview is from present day Overwatch. So some are like, oh, it's back in the day. Now she's older now and grown up. So now we can shoot her. No, she is currently an 11-year-old. So there goes that bit. They pretty much confirmed she's not a controller character. Can we just talk about controller characters for a second? Mm-hmm. I think it's dumb to put a child as a controller character. I'm just going to say it right now. I think that would be really dumb. I'm not opposed against controller characters. Imagine being able to go hide somewhere on the map, not in the lobby, and be able to send out these little creations that are just pesky and infinite. Like, yeah, I could totally see the Overwatch team saying that'd be something really cool to do. And at lower elos, nobody hunts the teleporter or the shield generator. So why would they go ahead and hunt this character? And then, you know, John and Jimmy never get out of wherever they are on the ladder.
What if she builds a robot for Doomfist? And Doomfist is number 25.
I don't know. I saw a lot of stuff like her coming out with she's rebuilding his gauntlet or any kind of armor for him and stuff like that. So maybe she's tied into the story that way. But what I saw is at the very end of her interview, they ask her, so do you have any plans with what you're planning on doing with this grant? Any creations, new computer, college tuition? And she says, oh, I have an idea. She doesn't say anything else. And then the next question is no hint. And she said, it's a secret for now, but my parents are taking me on a trip to celebrate. And to me, there's a bunch of back, you can go back and you can look at her name, and a lot of people will argue that her name originates from Greece, and that if you take the OR15, which she says that she wants to build computers and robots that are similar to that, if you take OR15 and then compare it to ORIS and then look up the origination of that name, it also traces back to Greek mythology. And then there are lines with people saying Ilios isn't connected to any characters, and there has yet to be a hero that is tied with Ilios.
And there's the voice actor whose name in Overwatch was just Greek.
Yep. And they said that he said that he had recorded lines that could have been talking over a walkie-talkie. So it kind of makes me want to feel like the next skit might be something in Ilios with where she's going on vacation, and then something happens to try and get maybe a robot that she's created to use against, you know, Overwatch and to use to fight them. That seems the most likely to me. And I'm like, I really clung on to that one when I was reading the theory, and that seemed to be one of my favorites. So I think that it'll be really cool. And my prediction for what's going to come up is it's going to be a skit in Ilios, and it's going to be something like she's on vacation and then a fight breaks out, and that leads into the 24th character coming to light and it being that person. So I'm really interested. That's it for me. That's my tinfoil hat. I'm not digging any further into this like we tried to do with Sombra. That's it. I'm not putting in any more effort. I'm not looking for any more hints, but that's what I feel like is going to happen.
So I tried to find a gong sounder for Jimmy Domus. It's like a but it's gonna have to wait. So Jimmy Domus,
oh my goodness,
you have a perfect track record on this show.
I don't know about perfect.
You have never been wrong about anything that you have ever tried to guess about in Overwatch. I need to know, and I'm gonna ask you a series of questions just so we get
First,
male, female, or non-gender, like Omnic or robot or something else?
Non-gender. I think it's going to be a robot because the first thing that they talk about in this blog post interview is that she's built a resume of impressive achievements in robotics and artificial intelligence. And I think that's the key right there, is the AI part of her skill set.
Okay. Second question. Role. Tank, offense, defense, support.
Oh, man. So we've had support and offense so far added post-launch. Probably a defense character.
Interesting. I feel like everyone's been guessing tank. But if Doomfist is going to be number 25, mm-hmm. and he's going to be a tank, that makes sense.
Yeah, if it's not a tank, I wouldn't panic, and I would expect a tank to be shortly after number 24.
Got it. And then last but not least, this is the haymaker. You don't have to get this one right. But if you do, I will pack up my studio and I will send it straight over to you, and you can do all shows. Name.
Name. Oh, I can't come up with a name on the spot like that. I'm terrible at being creative.
Yeah, be creative.
Kicked robot.
Kicked robot. I think the studio is going to be safe here in Denver.
I think you're safe.
That's very good. Great.
Oh my goodness.
Of all the things.
If the next character is named Kick Robot, I'm uninstalling the game.
This is no longer going to be an Overwatch podcast. We're going to just do a Hello Kitty podcast. Is what we're going to do.
I'm out.
Oh my God. Jeez. Kicked Robot, the spider defensive character. So
there you go. Right.
Okay. So yeah, I think it is going to be an Omnic, not an Omnic, robot of some sort, with some pretty awesome AI. They have to be similar. If her connection to this new hero is tied to AI, that would make it Omnician, right? Like an Omnic?
Yeah. I would say so.
Okay. I think so.
Okay.
I'll have Crow on to confirm.
Right. Crow, I need you to just tell me on Slack here what that is. Okay, so that's it. What other, do we have any other speculation here about this new hero? Timeline, PAX East coming up. Do we think that we will see the new hero revealed at PAX East?
Haven't they done that in the past?
Okay, so
Raj says yes. So yes, they did. So they introduced Zarya and
McCree.
Yeah.
Last PAX East. But I'm saying no this time because apparently I'm hearing that Overwatch isn't even going to be shown at PAX East this time around. So I have a feeling they're not going to announce it there.
Have they ever announced characters without making them playable? I need you to know these things, Jimmy. I need you for these.
Like pre-closed beta, yes.
Okay.
But not just beta, I feel like.
Got it. Okay. I don't think so either. But that's the next big thing coming up. So when are we going to see this hero? Guess
next week on the PTR.
Next week on the PTR, Jimmy doesn't want to be called Jimmy Domus anymore. Rush.
Yeah, he's just throwing predictions out there.
Remember how quickly Anna got announced, though?
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like, I think it'll be about halfway through season four. I feel like give it a few weeks into season four and I think we'll hear some, or we'll see the character.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think end of March, early April. Mm-hmm. So not quite halfway, but pretty dang close. Okay, that's it. Anything else you guys want to talk about, Effie?
No, I think that we covered all of our favorite theories.
Great. Oh, hey. The one thing I wanted to mention real quickly is
go ahead.
I think like half an hour, maybe an hour after this blog post went up, there was like already fan art of her. I was like, wow, people were really quickly.
People are walking around with their Wacom tablets just waiting for somebody to freaking say anything. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to make that into Overwatch characters. So that was pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts. And one thing, Blizzard Overwatch team, don't reveal this stuff during a Hearthstone developer Q&A. Come on, man.
So
like,
rude.
I'm here. I'm like, I'm going to be live blogging this Hearthstone Q&A. And then the Effie stuff comes out. I'm like, welp, there goes that. And I just ended up speculating about Effie for like the next 4 hours. It was great. Okay. Last but not least, Jeff Kaplan is on Twitter. Not wrong. No. Somebody made a
fake news.
Yeah, somebody made a Twitter account. And it was very convincing. And I can't remember what it was. It either had like a check mark or it got followed by a bunch of Blizzard people, something like that. So people are like, holy crap, this is the real deal. We're going to get Wrestle with Jeff, Prepare for Death on Twitter. This is going to be great. And it was confirmed that it was not not Jeff. So Jeff is not on Twitter. Jeff, come on Twitter. I would love.
Yes, come on Twitter.
I would love for you to be on Twitter. I think it would be great.
So that's really all that needs to be said about that. But slightly related, Jeff Kaplan was at DICE like Summit or something like that.
Sort of developer
game. And he was playing Quake, and he did pretty darn well. He's pretty good at that game. So that was pretty fun to watch him play against other developers, but he's good.
I mean, I've only heard the myths and legends of Jeff Kaplan and Quake. But I think it was GameSpot. They did that 3-part 20-minute series. And one of the portions was like the history of the FPS and how they were trying to get back to the roots of that. And Jeff was talking about how good he was in Quake and how he could beat everybody with whatever the melee weapon was in Quake, which I never, Quake was before my time. So I didn't get to play Quake, but yeah. So there was that. So that's pretty cool. All right. We got to go. Can we go into esports? Can we go into esports?
Let's do it.
All right. We're going into esports.
Faster than sight. So predictable.
This is the Overwatch Esports Fast Break for February 17th through 23rd. This week, Overwatch goes collegiate with the TESPA LAN Finals. The Enter the Arena Finals pits some of the best teams in North America against each other. The Carbon Entertainment Carbon Series begins. And Overwatch Apex Season 2 continues. First, let's head to the University of California at San Diego, where the TESPA Collegiate Live Finals took place last week. This tournament pitted top colleges against each other in a battle for more than $100,000 in scholarships and prizing. Distinguished by region, the North was represented by Toronto, South by Texas at Austin, East by Rutgers, and California Berkeley representing the West. The teams had to fight through a fierce bracket, but most of the matches weren't close in the LAN finals. The University of Toronto defeated Texas Austin 3-0 on Lijiang Tower, Dorado, and Kings Row. In the East vs. West battle of Rutgers vs. UC Berkeley, Rutgers couldn't keep up with Berkeley, losing 3-1. In the grand finals, Toronto crushed Berkeley 3-0. Only the third map, Lijiang Tower, was close. In the end, UC Berkeley wins the tournament and their share of $100,000 in scholarships. Meanwhile, Razor Arena and Electronic Frag sponsored the Enter the Arena event in a 32-team format, including some of the bigger names in Overwatch. Hammers Esports, Gale Force Esports, Rise Nation, Team Liquid, Renegades, and others all fight for a top spot in this minor tournament. The top four included Gale Force Esports, Hammers Esports, Renegades, and Selfless Gaming. While Renegades did quick work of Gale Force 2-0 and Selfless Gaming just squeaked by Hammers Esports 2-1, in the grand finals, it left Selfless Gaming turning heads, defeating Renegades 3-1. In our third tournament of the week, the Carbon Series with Carbon Entertainment and Blizzard invites some more big names to fight for an unannounced prize pool. The first week in this more than month-long tournament included six matches. In week one, here are the standings. Renegades and Hammers Esports are tied for first, both going 2-0. Immortals are in third, Luminosity in fourth, Team Liquid in fifth, and Complexity Gaming in sixth. Team Liquid and Complexity have both yet to win a match. Team Liquid has only won one map so far. Notably, Renegades defeated Team Liquid and Luminosity Gaming for their 2-0 spot, while Hammers Esports defeated Complexity and Team Liquid for theirs. Next week, we'll get six more matches, with Hammers Esports going against Luminosity Gaming, Renegades against Complexity, Team Liquid against Complexity, Immortals versus Hammers Esports, Renegades versus Luminosity Gaming, and Team Liquid versus Immortals. You can watch the Carbon Series Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday starting at 5:15 Pacific at twitch.tv/carbonentertainment. Last but not least, it's a week of Korean-only teams at Overwatch Apex Season 2, with 3 out of 4 games being decided in a one-sided sweep. BK Stars defeats MVP Infinity, Afrika Freaks Red loses to Luxury Watch Blue, and Kongdu Panthera defeats Flash Lux 3-0 as well. In the only series to go to Game 5 in over 3 weeks at Apex, the 0-2 Konbach Spirit team takes on the 1-1 Afrika Freaks Blue roster. Konbach Spirit comes back from a 2-1 deficit to win 3-2 on Route 66 in Eichenwald. This week, we've got more East versus West action as Meta Athena takes on Envious, Misfits takes on Lunatic High, Cloud9 versus Kangdu Unsia, and Fnatic versus Runaway. All games will be played Tuesday and Friday at 2 a.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/OGNGlobal. That's it for this week's Esports Fast Break. Damn it. So we need to set the record straight on a couple things. So making videos is hard. I'm bad at it. I'm not good at it at all. And I stress out about it that sometimes I go faster with the audio I could. Obviously, you heard the same audio thing said second. This will be fixed in post. So this means nothing to the people in the audio portion. Also, even though the final score was correct, the actual part where I said it, Berkeley beat Toronto in the grand finals of the TESPA Collegiate Champion Championships. So those are the two mistakes. Sorry for the video viewers who had to have me just cut to the normal screen because it put the timing off. Dang it. That's what happens when you try to get fancy on these podcasts, Jimmy. They end up just biting you in the face.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So are we staying up till 2 a.m. tonight?
I want to. I want to.
I probably will.
I'm going to.
I'm tempted.
I probably will play Overwatch until 2 a.m. And then, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. I'm very serious.
The games are going to be good. Yeah.
Yeah. So tonight we do have Envious playing Meta Athena. Both are undefeated. All right. We need to talk about this game. Yep. We need to make our bold declarations and put them on the internet so that when we're wrong, people can make fun of us. I need to know who yeah. is going. Who do you think is going to win in this matchup? Rosh, you first.
I love Cloud9, so I don't want to say Envious because I don't want them to have to go up against each other, but I'm going to say Envious because I think that they're going to come out on top.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Jimmy, what about you?
I'm also going to go with Envious 3-2.
Interesting. Okay. So I did some research here. And I believe BK Stars is one of the teams in that group, correct?
Yes.
And so Meta Athena defeated BK Stars 3-0. And Envious defeated BK Stars 3-1. They both beat MVP Infinity, I believe, 3-2. So I'm going to put on my logic hat here. And because I let you two go first and I can't pick Envious, I'm going to say Meta Athena upsets 3-2 because, again, and the only thing I'm going off of is that they did better against MVP Infinity. Oh, my God. Who was I thinking of? The other team. BK Stars. Thank you.
Yeah, BK Stars. Yeah,
they did better against BK Stars.
The Burger King Stars.
Burger King Stars. They did better than the Burger King Stars. So I'm going to say that. And I honestly do think that right now, they're just on a tear. They just play so well right now. So I think they do really good in their 2-2.
I think the only thing I'm worried about with Meta Athena is they haven't played on stage since February 3rd, which is almost 3 weeks. Yeah, it's three. It's going to be 3 weeks on Friday that they haven't played on stage. But, I mean, they give them a lot of time to study Envious. So that's the other side of the coin. Who knows? It's going to be a great series. It's going to be really close, I think.
Interesting. Okay, well, I can't wait for next week when you're both wrong, and then we can talk about it. How math always wins. That's not at all true. So that was going on. That was the big thing I want to talk about. We also, Cloud9's in trouble, Rosh, but they're not totally out of it here.
Yeah, they're not completely in trouble. They have a chance.
They have to beat Kongdu Unsia this week, and if they don't, they need to lose to them 2-3. And then I believe that there's a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Unless I've taken a look at the scores wrong and there might be something else. If they go through.
No, you're right.
No, that's lineup. Right.
So, okay.
Yeah,
right.
They go 2-3.
Right. Yeah, so do you think that they can do it? Kongdu Unsia has looked great. They're 2-0 right now. I know you want to bet big on Gods and Cloud9 here, but what do you think?
I think that they can do it. I think that it's definitely feasible for them to win this. And I think that they have the motivation to wanting to get out of groups enough to do so. And all of them, I know that they strive to do as well as they can. So they're this past, what has it been? 2 weeks. I think it's been exactly 2 weeks since their last game. I think that they have probably done a lot in that downtime to come back and fix what happened in their game last time for their loss. And I think that the stuff that happened last game was a bunch of their stuff was they just weren't getting on the point. They weren't really paying attention to the map. So they gave up some rounds that they shouldn't have given up. And I think that that's super easy to fix in the downtime between matches. So I think that they will be able to come back and they'll be able to win this and they can still have a chance to get out. So definitely going with Cloud9.
Jimmy, are you on Team Rosh here?
I am. They're in the driver's seat here that if they win the series, they're in. And I think that's a good place to be, not having to rely on other teams to lose or whatnot. So I think they can do it. I hope they've learned from their mistakes from that last series where they didn't touch the point.
There were like three or four rounds that they gave up because they just didn't get on the point.
Yeah, I was watching the VOD and I just could not believe that happened. So I'm sure that's something that they went over and really looked into. So or maybe they'll go more towards payload maps instead if they have the option to versus these capture point ones. So we'll see. This is going to be another great series, though. Cloud9 is in the driver's seat with their destiny here, and I think they can do it.
I agree.
Great. Last but not least, we have coming up the Alienware Monthly Melee. We actually talked about the show, how NRG was planning on being there. They're not going to be there anymore. They're not going to be able to fill the roster. So no Seagull, IDD, QD, Numlocked in the crew representing here. But we do still have a pretty stacked invite list. FaZe, Rogue, Immortals, Hammers Esports, Luminosity, Complexity, Renegades, and Rise Nation. My favorite, I'm gonna say my first because I let you guys say first. I'm gonna say Hammers Esports upsets Immortals 3-2 in the grand finals.
I wouldn't say against Immortals, but I would definitely say that I think Hammers Esports, if I had to put money on it, they're gonna make it.
They're gonna
the
have
finals.
To beat Immortals.
Well, yeah. I just don't think it'll be Immortals in the finals. I think that
I haven't looked
Immortals
at the brackets.
Won't make it. Yeah. So
I think wherever it is, they beat Immortals 3-2.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
They take it
actually,
all.
Yeah. It's because last time we saw Hammers Esports, they just came out swinging. I don't remember who it was that they went against, but
Complexity was it? Were
I
they?
I think it was.
Were spawn
and
camping
they
them?
They dominated. So I think that, and then FaZe and Luminosity and Complexity, Renegades is kind of there, but Rise Nation, they've all kind of been faltering a little. Where you kind of like see little spurts of what they could do, but they really haven't shown up. But Hammers Esports, I think, is definitely the team to watch for it.
I think Hammers Esports, we haven't seen Rogue in a while, so we're not really sure what to expect from them. Renegades, though, they've been looking pretty good. Have been looking pretty good. And then, obviously, Immortals continues to be one of the top-ranked teams in all of Overwatch. They haven't had a lot of exposure to Korean teams, but still, man, they've just looked so good that those are the three that I'm watching. Now, Hammers Esports did crush Complexity. I believe it was at the Enter the Arena tournament, if I'm not.
I believe so.
Was it the Enter the Arena or was it the other one? There was four tournaments. No, was it Carbon
so
Masters?
Many.
Carbon Masters?
I can't even remember.
Anyways,
there's so many.
One of those two. There was four tournaments this week. They played and they were playing and I was watching it and I just remembered Jake going off on his Genji for Hammers Esports. He's so good. And there are very few people who can hold up to Jake's Genji. Although Shadowburn, he's one of those who could probably hold up to that Genji. So we'll have to see. Jimmy, who do you got? Who's going to take this one away?
If I had to put all my eggs in one basket, it'd be Immortals. I'm going to go against you guys here, but Immortals has looked really good lately. The team to watch, though, I think is going to be FaZe because they're kind of a giant question mark right now. To watch just to see where they are right now. I really have no clue how good they are anymore. I mean, it's really starting to look like MLG was a bit of a fluke, unfortunately for FaZe, but
well, they
like
don't
to
have
see
too
if they
easy
can,
anymore.
I know,
now.
I know, no too easy, but
no bench
I'm
boys.
I'm curious
though.
If they can.
I would have loved to see the Bench Boys at the Alienware Monthly Melee and then see a little rematch.
I would have liked to see Gale Force in here too, just because of their top four performance in, what was that, this last weekend that I caught a little bit of. I forget what the event was. Enter the Arena?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Should be good.
So that's it. That's what we've got coming up next week. So make sure to tune into all of those things. And yeah. All right. Now the big esports news. That was the small esports news. Here's the big one. So Nate Nanzer, he's the global director for Overwatch League. He was in Korea and did a Q&A. And this just dropped today. So a lot of people are still going through it. There are corrections going out all the time. But and it was translated. So there's always some stuff lost in translation there as well. But here is the high notes. We're going to kind of hit the high notes and then anywhere else where you guys really want to discuss. The first thing, and I think the thing that everybody kind of wants to know, the 2017 season will start in Q3 of this year. However, due to the sheer amount of player acquisitions and team formations and all that kind of stuff, there won't probably be regular seasons and consistent schedules until the 2018 season. So to me, this reads like almost like an Overwatch League soft opening. Yeah. Every time I think of Ocean's 13. Where they're going to rob the casino, and it's like it doesn't open. They're gonna rob it on grand opening night, but they're during the soft opening time. And Saul's like, back when they opened the Flamingo, one day it was closed, the next day it was open. And for me, that kind of feels the same way with Overwatch League. Instead of it just being one day, you know, you have Major League Baseball. Instead, it's gonna be a little bit of a trial growing period,
which I think is good. I think it's necessary almost with something as big as the Overwatch League and getting everything sorted. I think that it would have been naive to think that they could start and open the season and immediately jump into a regular season.
For how massive their concept is for the Overwatch League, they need to hit the ground running and properly. They really can't afford to screw this up, to be quite honest. It just needs to be done right from the start of the 2018 season. I think 2017, obviously, we'll see a lot of just trying things out and seeing what works. Right. But yeah, 2018 is where it's really going to be tested and see if it can make a huge impact in the esports scene. And I think it will. I trust Blizzard here, and it's extremely ambitious. And I know there's a lot of concerns from esports owners and team owners and the like, but this is going to be, it's going to be fun to watch at least.
Right. Now, something that they did say that hopefully is less concerning for team owners is players are not drafted. This will not be an open draft, and they're going to try to avoid cases where existing teams need to break up for the Overwatch League. So what I took away from this is we did get confirmation that these will still be city-ish based teams. So you will still have that aspect, but it doesn't mean that those people are from that city or even that country. It is not locked by gender. It is also not locked by nationality. So
Don't skim over that, because that's actually really, really,
I know,
big.
We're going there, Jimmy. So okay. We're going there. Keep your pants on for just a moment. I know it's a podcast. No one can see the pants anyways, but just keep them on for a second. I want to talk about two things. Number one, they didn't say anything about not having a combine. So presumably there's still going to be a more formal combine tryout arena type thing going forward. But they also said, again, you can kind of be from anywhere and play for any team in any country, obviously, as long as you can get, a way to live there. So, Jimmy, because you were so ecstatic about talking about this, what's the BFD here?
This the people not being locked by nationality is semi-concerning because we've had this issue pretty big in both League and StarCraft, where a Korean team just moved over to North America and was like, eh, we'll just dominate this NA League. And that has happened many, many times. Maybe it won't happen with Overwatch just because of the sheer amount of players and kind of how the meta is evolving already. But I still think it remains to be seen that I think the Koreans are pretty much considered the top Overwatch teams right now.
And they have, the only thing that they have said about this league is that it's a global league. They haven't talked about it being broken up by region either. Wherein, you know, the NFL, you even, you know, everyone here is in the United States. You don't have some random Berlin, Germany team that plays in that league too. It's everybody plays in that thing, World Cup style. But at the same time, you're right. Like, it does, you know, lead some people. Other people are worried that there will just, even if it's not a whole Korean team, but it would just, a lot more of the NA teams and EU teams will have more Korean players. And I mean, and I tweeted out a joke earlier today where it said the 2009 New York Yankees, 50% of their starting lineup were not from the United States. And that's the most American sport that there is. The United States does not have a monopoly on esports by any means. Probably the opposite.
Oh, no. They're so, like, just to be honest, NA is probably number three, maybe number four in the world as far as esports.
Right. So, at least definitely for these type of like FPSs, RTSs, for sure. There's some good NA Hearthstone card players, though. I'll keep there. Rosh.
Well, okay, so Jimmy hit the nail on the head when he said that this was a big issue in StarCraft and League, and it was an issue, but I think that Riot did a really good job at limiting how easy it was to really get your Korean team over here. And, you know, they have LCK and they have LCS, which is something that Blizzard hasn't said that they're doing yet. It's a global operation, but I think it would be naive of Blizzard to think that they cannot set up parameters for Korean teams to follow by and to just hope that it would be okay. So while they haven't necessarily come out and shown us, you know, what exactly we have in place with restrictions and regulations, I think that they probably have thought about this because they've seen what has happened with StarCraft and League, and they have rules and restrictions and regulations set in place that we just don't know about that prevents that from happening. Because I think it's pretty much it's not debatable that Korea is probably one of the leading esports regions. And so, yeah, that would be worrisome, but I can't imagine Blizzard being that naive with something this big, because like Jimmy said 10 minutes ago, they have to hit the ground running and they can't mess up. They've got to get stuff really and do stuff really well with this. And I can't imagine them letting that go under the radar and happening.
Right. Speaking of being successful with the Overwatch League, one thing that they discussed was profit and profit sharing. Mm-hmm. And Nate Nanzer went on to say that the team is not opposed and hasn't made the final decision on if in-game sales can lead to individual team profits. But for sure right now, not for sure, but profits are likely to be shared from ticket sales, merchandise, broadcasting rights, and other things. So more think traditional sports in a lot of ways. To that. So how do you feel about that one, Jimmy? Do you feel pretty good? It's kind of weird. Broadcasting rights, that kind of alludes to the fact that we might have Overwatch games behind a paywall.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, what Blizzard is doing right now with Heroes and Heroes of the Dorm is they have an exclusive broadcasting right with Facebook Live right now. And I don't actually know any of the details, but I'm sure Facebook paid them money to keep it off of Twitch. And I think that might be,
there's definitely some sort of exclusivity, like either by Facebook getting more money or whatever, mm-hmm. like, you know, they didn't want to, especially with events like this, exclusivity is huge. It's not just what you can watch, but where you can watch it.
I mean, who knows? Maybe TBS will see that E-League has been successful and be like, we want to be a player in the Overwatch League and make a bid there. And then every team that plays in the Overwatch League gets some sort of cut from that. I think what's more interesting, though, is the kind of glazed over, oh, we might do in-game sales stuff. And this comes just from CSGO, but imagine gun skins with your favorite team on it or something like that. And it's, what, $5 or something. And maybe the team gets 50% of that or something like that. And a couple hundred thousand sales of that. And you're rolling in some pretty good cash for your team.
I want Junkrat grenades with Internet Hulk's face. That's what I want.
Okay, that would be kind of scary.
That would be hilarious.
Can you imagine being in a match and then having Hulk's face just thrown at you from the enemy Junkrat? That would be kind of scary.
Yeah. Yep. I would agree with that. How do you feel about this more traditional type of model? Obviously, it sounds great because this is a tried and true model that real... using air quotes here for you audio listeners, real sports have been successful with, but this is a new thing. This is a new era. Are you concerned that by going the more traditional route that maybe the Overwatch League isn't setting themselves up for the future as much as trying to tread and true the past?
I don't think so, because Overwatch League as itself is a huge thing. And I think if they try a bunch of new leading ideas and strategies that they might bite too much off to handle. So I think starting with the basic, the more traditional route with sales and profits and all of that, I think that that's something that they're doing right and that they should do. And then if everything calms down and the season goes off without a hitch and things become routine and it's as big as everybody thinks and they're doing extremely well, then they can look into switching up ideas and their strategies and how they want to split profits and stuff like that. So I think it's smart of Blizzard to do this and kind of stick with something that's been known to work and then focus on everything else so that they don't necessarily have to worry about that. So they could focus on getting the Overwatch League out and making sure everything else is good. And then when it's proven to be as big as everybody thinks it is, go back and revisit the profits and the strategies and how they want to split that up. So I think that it's a good idea from Blizzard to do so.
Cool. All right. Last question. We'll get out of here. Not even question. Here's the last big thing that we took away from the Q&A. And we've kind of already all but confirmed this in the past, but the final match of Overwatch League will not be at BlizzCon. It'll be in a new city every year. Doesn't mean that there won't be big Overwatch esports represented at BlizzCon. I think you'd be stupid. Silly. You would be silly to think otherwise.
You would be incorrect.
You would be wrong, but it's not going to be the big game. There's no World Series of Overwatch happening at BlizzCon, at least in the near future, unless one day that random city happens to be Anaheim on the first week of November, which I highly doubt. So, Denver Overwatch World Championships, come on, please. How do you feel about this more Super Bowl type thing where it's just totally... totally random. Pick one. Olympic style. Fan?
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I think I'm a fan of it. I think that they're trying to mix esports with actual sports. And if you look at, you know, how many actual sport representatives were at Blizzard this last year, I think that they're just trying to combine the two to make it more relatable to people who may not be into esports. So that interesting, you know, factor of having the game in your city, even if you might not necessarily have watched esports, it might bring in fans that, because there's a huge tournament being held in Denver, people want to go check it out instead of just the same place year after year. So I think that it's a good strategy. I think it'll be exciting.
Yeah, cool. Jimmy, what do you think? Any other thoughts?
I think this is a good step forward. I mean, you and I both went and saw Overwatch at BlizzCon last year. Well, the stage was great. You could fit like 10 people in there. And it really, it took up a bunch of space at the BlizzCon show floor, but you couldn't fit too many people in there. It was totally packed.
Even during the really like not great games. Like we were there. I mean, from an excitement level, not from an actual results level. Because like US Korea, it was freaking packed.
Oh yeah.
There was not an empty seat there. Mm-hmm. And that fit had to fit at least a couple thousand. I would say like,
yeah, I think
I would say like 1.5 to 2,000. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was quite large. But even the lesser known ones, there was barely any room at all.
Yeah.
And especially for something where you have your attention being pulled in five different directions. If you're more than just an Overwatch fan, like that's that says something when something is that popular. StarCraft mm-hmm. kind of does the same thing, you know?
No, all the esports are the same thing. They're totally just they're really esports is really taking over BlizzCon for the most part. Like at least half of it is dedicated, I feel like, to esports now. And I think it's good that they're separating it out a bit. And this is kind of following, like you said, the Super Bowl model, but also League does this as well, and I think it's very successful. They take their entire championship series just all over the place. Like I think last year they had it in like Chicago for one of the rounds, New York for the last one, and then the grand finals were in LA at Staples Center, which they've had it twice there now.
And this year it's in Canada.
Exactly.
I did get to see
actually the League Finals in 2013 at Staples, and that was in my wildest dreams, I never thought we'd see esports in an actual like sports stadium, and that was really cool. So I think Blizzard has seen what works from other companies and is going to be implementing them in their own Blizzard way.
Right.
Exactly.
And we've also seen other people be successful. Even like now the NFL does a couple games every year in Europe and South America. Even I think they did, I want to say that they did a
Mexico as well.
Mexico. Yep. So they've done that. Baseball has done that same thing, like at least something like that. So it's not far fetched to have this kind of random, should be neutral, although we've all seen every once in a while where like Super Bowl is going to be here and that's where one of the teams are from, which is kind of a big deal as well. But for the most part, presumably neutral. And so pretty cool overall. I'm excited. We are always excited for Overwatch League on this show. Like we're ready for it. Bring it on. We've got probably about another 6 months though before we... Mm-hmm. Get to talk more about Overwatch League. But until then, I bet you details kind of like this will keep trickling in. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. All right.
Time is money, friends. And we're almost flat broke.
We got to get out of here. It's a show. It's been a show. Woo. That was fun. Yeah. Ooh, Jimmy, I'm going to have you do Patreon, by the way. So get ready. And Ross, I'm going to have you do iTunes review. I had it. Surprise. I had those still from there from Jamerson. So I don't want to think that you guys are off the hook and like just don't have to do anything anymore. So, hey, thank you so much for hanging out. We do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Corel, and Tommy Corel. H. Dang it. Sorry. Played some Overwatch games with Tommy and Corel just the other day. So that was pretty fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're really good. Tommy's a master player, I believe. He might be grandmaster. You think he got to
maybe
like
I could learn a thing 40, or two.
53.
I know them by their battle tag name. So like I
Freemant,
after the Freemant. So, yes. Okay. So Freemant, that's what I thought. And, he was masters.
Yeah.
And he was like 3,700, I want to say.
Yeah. He was I think he was higher. I think he got to like 40, 53, if I remember it right. Anyways, they're very good at Overwatch, and yet they still listen to me talk about Overwatch.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know. Anyways, let's thank you. Thank you to you first. Second of all, what do we got going on in Patreon land, Jimmy?
We're still working towards that $200 merch store goal, which will be awesome once we're able to throw that up on there. But as always, if you like the show and want to support the show, which helps us out very much, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Take a look at all the tiers of rewards there. And you can decide there if you'd like to help us out. We do have one brand new patron this week, Ryan W., a.k.a. Kage Kumo. Someone I see in your streams a lot, John.
Yep. Basically one of my best friends.
Really appreciate the support, Ryan. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so much so that I spell his name phonetically for people so they don't mess it up. Because it drives me absolutely nuts. So, thank you again, Kage, and welcome to the Payload Patreon. And iTunes reviews, Rosh, what do we got to mispronounce this week?
We actually have some really easy names to mispronounce, or to not mispronounce. But anyway, leaving a 5-star review supports the podcast in many different ways. So super thank you to PQ Higgins, G1 Josh, and Jake Watt. Even bigger thanks for having super easy usernames to pronounce. I appreciate it.
Step it up, iTunes users. Come on.
5-star reviews help us a ton on a week-to-week basis, and you get to hear me try and say your name. So if you haven't left one, make sure to do so. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Woo! All right. Awesome. Let's do shout-outs for the week. Jimmy, you're up first. Well, shout-outs and where people can find you. I have to change that
just,
now.
thanks, everyone, for coming out to the Payload. I really love talking about Overwatch, even though I'm terrible at the game. But you can always find me at DJ Tyrant on Twitch and Twitter. I'm going to say this like I say every week, but I'm going to try to stream more.
I promise to
actually do it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see about that. We'll see about that. Jimmy Bloxham. Rosh, what about you? Shout outs for the week, and where can people find you?
No major shout outs for the week since it's kind of off season for Overwatch, so it's a little slow. I will be streaming after this podcast, so you can find me on my channel at twitch.tv/okayitsrosh for all of the people who are watching the stream. If you're listening to this tomorrow, I probably will be streaming, but it won't be after the podcast because it was tonight. So you can also find me at Twitter at @f2k_okayitsrosh. And yeah, you can find me those two places.
Nice. All right. As for me, first and foremost, you can find me everything at Kicked Tripod, Twitch, Twitter, anywhere else that you could possibly want to find me. I am there. So that is the first thing. The second thing is I kind of announced some big news this week on my stream. Not even big news, but just news for the podcasts and for the live streams. And as you all know, about 5 months ago, quit my job, was kind of forced out of it, but I'm like, whatever, we're going to do this full time. And in doing this, it's been fun, it's been great, but it hasn't been sustainable. Meaning that when I graduate from college in May, the podcast will still continue. I will still stream whenever I can. But it is likely that I will not have on my Twitter profile full-time content creator. So I'm just preparing everyone for that because we put a lot of extra time and effort into the show, into things like esports fast break and, you know, spending hours a week scheduling new guests and things like that. And just streaming, making this a video podcast is not, it's not the easiest thing in the world. It's not that hard, but it's not easy either. So just kind of preparing for you. I'm going to be streaming a lot and making a lot of cool content until then, because it's kind of up to me on if something changes or not, on if, you know, I'll be doing that or if I'll be, you know, going somewhere else and, you know, going, shifting back to enthusiast hobby John instead of full-time podcaster streamer John. So that's kind of it for me, but I want to tell people, because I don't want it to just be like all of a sudden one day I'm working somewhere else and there's no lead up to that and people didn't know. So I wanted to say it, but that's my news. Anyways, let's get out of here, shall we? Thank you for listening to episode 58 of The Payload. We have all of our Overwatch stuff at overwatch.blizzbro.com, and you can find us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. Email us at thepayload@blizzpro.com, and then What else? That's about it. We record live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/blizzpro. So you can also find us there. We'll be there every Thursday and doing more cool things as we continue to do this awesome thing. Thank you so much for listening to episode 58. Oh, thank you to Jake Butno for our music. It's awesome. Our intro and outro on both Well Met and The Payload consistently get shouted out for the best intro and outro music in the business. So thank you so much. And yep, that's it. That's episode 58. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.